We tend to see, I'll be speaking for around 20 minutes, fair warning, make yourself comfortable. We tend to see the Churban Beis HaMikdash through the eyes of the Nevi'im. We hear the prophecies of Yeshaya, of Yirmiyah, of Hosea, of Amos, and we experience through their eyes, and they tell us, and we read it over and over again, that unless B'nai Yisrael fix their ways, this is what's going to happen. And year in, year out, we read the Nevuahs, we hear what's about to happen, and they don't learn. But the truth of the matter is that it's not really fair to look at the Churban through the eyes of the Nevi'im. For starters, there were no Nevi'im at the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And as such, those people weren't warned. Also, we have to remember the reality that the people were living through was not necessarily the reality of the Nevi'im. If we look at the Churban Beis HaMikdash historically, the people probably did not think that the Churban was due to the Nevi'im, but rather due to the current events. At the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, Yehuda, the southern kingdom, found themselves stuck between two mighty kingdoms. To the north was Ashur. Assyria was the power of the time. And to the south was Egypt. Both of them were way stronger than Israel was at that time. On the one hand, you're feeling the pressure coming from the north. Ashur had successfully defeated the northern kingdom and had sent the 10 tribes into Galus. The 10 tribes, which arguably have never been seen from, heard from again, 2,500 years later. And miraculously, the southern kingdom was saved from Assyria. And then all of a sudden, Assyria is defeated by Babel. And there has to be a decision. On the one hand, it would seem that Babel is more powerful. On the other hand, Egypt is closer. Babel is living out in Iran, Iraq. Perhaps we don't have to worry them. They're perhaps stronger than Egypt, but Egypt is right on our border. And at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the pundits would have said it was a bad choice. The choice to align ourselves with Egypt rather than with Babel, that's what did us in. I'm sure no other nation at the time would say it was the lack of tshuva. And as the Nevuahs came and they said what's going to happen, I'm sure not a lot of people paid attention to it. Many more people paid attention to what was happening. And therefore the Nevi'im, when they spoke, didn't speak in the way of a heavenly hand will come down upon you. But rather said, foreign nations will invade the land. You look at the book of Yoel. There will be locusts. There will be famine in the land. There will be disease. There will be death through natural means. But the Navi is there to tell us that the natural means are just the Yad Hashem. That is why in the second Beis HaMikdash, where there is no Navi to tell us that repent or else, the warnings come the same way. Now it's the Roman armies. Now it's a different political problem to rebel, to not rebel. These are all political decisions, the current events. And at this point, it's the Rabbanim who are telling them, listen, this is the hand of Hashem. But again, you'd have to imagine that very few people chalked off the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash to the hand of Hashem. But rather, they chalked it off to bad political decisions that led to a foreign army taking over the land. The Rambam tells us that nevuah is actually something natural. The Rambam speaks out against those who think that God randomly chooses a person and decides that God will communicate with this person. But rather it says that if a person wants to be a Navi, there's preparation involved. The person has to study the Torah. Through the Torah, understands the ways of Hashem, work on their intellect, work on their personality, and raise themselves to the level where they may be a Navi. And it seems that the Rambam understands Nevuah as just a higher level of intelligence. And it's somewhat understandable. If somebody learns the Torah, if somebody understands the Torah, then somebody is understanding God. And if you understand God, you can see that if this happens now, there are a limited amount of possibilities of what could happen next. And if I understand God, and I understand the thinking kivayachal of God, and I understand what's going on in the world, I can tell you this is going to happen next. Not because God told me it's going to happen, not because I have any inside information, but I understand the way that God runs the world. So therefore, even when there is no Nevuah, so a Navi is somebody, a prophet will have to be able to look at the world and to understand deeply that these points might seem minor to some, but really they're exceptionally important. However, even somebody who is not a Navi should be able to look at the world and see obvious cases of the hand of Hashem. But on the positive side, 1948, 1967. If a person has a feel for God, you look at it and say, this was the hand of Hashem. Perhaps this is Reishis Smichas Gulasenu. Perhaps this is the beginning of the Messianic era. But like it's true in the positive, there are certain cases where you have to look at it and see that there's something very wrong here. Things don't happen in the world for no reason. When something happens in the world, it is incumbent upon us to look at it as a message from God. Sometimes it's not obvious. Sometimes you would need a Navi to tell you what it means. But other cases, you should be able to do it yourself. And therefore, in the second Beis HaMikdash, the people couldn't turn around and say, we didn't see it coming. Because just like in the first Beis HaMikdash, the enemies were getting closer. The government had gone corrupt. One king after another king was taking over. It was obvious that there was something wrong here. So too in the second Beis HaMikdash, as the enemy drew closer, it was incumbent upon the people to take the hint and to realize that there was something very wrong. And the people should have reacted. They should have searched their souls and saw that there was sinas chinam, that the Jews were not acting the way the Jews should act. Just like in the first Beis HaMikdash, whether it was idol worship or any of the other major sins, it wasn't overnight that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But slowly, the enemy crept closer and closer up until the point where with the Navi, without the Navi, it should have been obvious that something was amiss and something had to be done about it. Our situation today is the same as the second Beis HaMikdash. There is no more prophecy. There is nobody who's going to come out there and tell us, this is what's wrong and this is what you have to do. Don't know if we would even listen. But God still communicates through what happens in the world. And in hindsight, we can judge earlier generations. Had I lived in the 1930s in Germany, would I have seen it coming? Why did the rebbes tell everybody to stay? In hindsight, we blame them all. But let's consider what we're living through right now. It has not been a good year. Not just for the Jewish people, for everybody. There is a plague, and unfortunately, it has hit the Orthodox Jewish community harder than most. And like plagues before it, no one has said yet that we poisoned the wells. But when people get upset, it's oftentimes not good news for the Jews. Somehow protests turn anti-Semitic. The Jews always make a good scapegoat. And if we just look at what's happening in the streets today, here in the United States, here in Denver, it is obvious that things are not good right now. And God willing, there should be a vaccine and everybody should go back to work and people should find better things to do with their time and people should be happy again and there should be bread on their tables and they should forget about this. And that may happen. And that also may not happen. The longer this goes on, the longer that people are suffering, the longer that people are looking for a scapegoat, the worse it's going to be for us. And if this is not an act of God, I don't know what is. There is a plague. People in Israel are suffering. People in New York are suffering. People in Los Angeles and Florida. Many major Jewish communities have suffered through this. And thank God, Denver so far has been relatively good. But things creep closer. And as I said, I hope and pray that things turn around very soon. But what if it doesn't? Do we chalk it off to a tough break? To quote a great nephew of mine in California, some guy in China ate a bat and now we can't go to shul. We just assume that, what does it have to do with us? Or do we consider that perhaps everything that happens to the world is a message for us? That Hashem is telling us that something is wrong. I'm not a Navi. I can't tell you what's wrong. I can't tell you that this is a message that we should X, Y, or Z. There are people who will tell you. I think they're frauds. But I think this is time for some soul searching. Is America something we should consider was not meant to last forever? And begin considering moving back to Israel? Is there something among us that we could be doing better? Is it a problem being out of Chavero? Are we not treating each other the way that we should? Is it Ben Adam Lamakam? Are we not treating God the way that we should? But the message is, don't ignore the message. Each individual and communally, we should sit down and say, I think we would all agree that we have room for improvement. The fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash is a sign that there's room for improvement. It says clearly that any generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt in, it's as if it was destroyed. We just got back to the point above where they were, we'd have it back. So clearly, I think we could all agree that individually and communally, there is room for improvement. And if we go and we try to improve, I don't know if we'll be successful, but if we had a good faith effort to make ourselves better people, to be honest with ourselves, and go down the list, I'm not such a Baal Mussar. I'm not going to start telling you that I think this is wrong and that is wrong. I'm not perfect. Far from it. But just to be honest with ourselves and to say, you know what? There's a place where I'm lacking. You know, I should be better about fill in the blank. And I'm going to try. And you know what? I'd like to do it because I want to be a better person. There's a lot of positive reasons why I'd want to do it. And you don't want to be doing it meyira. You don't want to be doing it because you hear the footsteps. But the message of the Churban Beis HaMikdash was, it wasn't the Navi that they should have heard. They should have heard the Babylonian army. They should have heard the Roman army. And they did hear them, but they should have realized there's something more to this. What the Navi was trying to tell them is that Nebuchadnezzar did not come to power and wake up one day and on his own decide to destroy the Beis HaMikdash because he couldn't have. But rather, God set into motion a series of events that could have been stopped, but we didn't try to stop it, and that led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Nero, Vespasian, didn't wake up one day and decide to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. There were warnings. And every individual has to learn from history, and we know what happens if not. So over the next 24 hours or so, as we look back at previous generations, and we remember how terribly they suffered, and how we hope and pray that we never go through this, it's incumbent upon us to remember that it's not impossible. This is our first year, unfortunately, without Cantor Kuttner here. We can look around the community and find people that suffered in ways that are unimaginable. And God forbid it should ever happen again. God forbid. But nothing is impossible. We individually and communally have to be better. There are warning signs out there. As easy as they came, they can go. It's not hard for God to just put up a vaccine. Everybody goes back to normal. And that's it. People are back at work. They're not marching in the streets. We're back to normal. But medically, politically, religiously, there's no reason why that has to happen. We need to do better. That is the message of Tisha B'Av. Too many times in history, we've ignored the signs. We paid too terrible of a price. Let's learn. Let's not have it happen again. One step at a time. Let's try to be better people, seriously. And not only can we stop the bad, but as I said, there's been enough hints that Mashiach's around the corner. 1948, 1967, one can easily come up with a scenario where things turn very much for the better. I hope and pray that they do.